Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And it's that time of the early evening that we look at the affairs of business. It's a Friday of the 10th of April, 2026. And where are we going, colleagues? Where are we going? It's a Friday. And, go out and make sure that we have that strategic engagement, those strategic meetings. And it's not always necessary to be at home every day. You need to make sure that you go out and meet with your friends. Let us build that connection. And also let us make sure that we spend the time with people that we want to introduce to our kids in the future. And we spend the time with people that we want to be friends with, even in public. Let us make sure that we make those strategic choices. And also look at the content of the discussion, because we always need to make sure that let us prioritize discussions. Let us prioritize meetings of values. I'm not saying you should abandon all your friends, but I'm saying the time that you are wasting in irrelevant conversation will still come back to you, particularly when you are growing up. And I do not want to be a regretful grandfather one day. I want to be that guy who is sitting at the corner of the house, but I'm very proud of 80% of the choices which I made, because I'm a human being. But we must look at that aspect. And we have been hard on you, particularly when it comes to giving you statistics, giving you economic facts. But today, we are going to be soft on you, although we are also still continue looking at economic indicators. But I want us to look at ourselves and also take a critical self-assessment to say, as an individual, what are 7 key things that you are very proud of? Particularly when it comes to you and also your community. Are you a victim? Are you a main actor? Are you proud? Are you where you are in life? Are you still working on yourself? Are you a work in progress? Or you are just still moving with the wind? And ask yourself a question again, especially if you want to make a critical self-assessment. And it's not necessary to say we want you to compare yourself with your classmates, but take the class of grade 1 or kindergarten until to the grade that you ended up with, and look at your classmates and ask yourself a question: who is that who you are very proud of, who represent your generation, who you are very proud of, who is representing your generation? And also ask yourself a question to say, in this economy, who is among your classmates that you really think need assistance? And when you are comparing yourself with those two examples which I gave, are you the one that everybody is proud of? Are you the one that need assistance, or you are in the middle? Wherever you are, understand that it's not yet done until you win, because we must always make sure that you have that strong conviction to say you can be 45 years old, you can be 50. But when you look back at your life, you say, no, man, I think I should have done better. But as long as you are breathing and you are still listening to Eagle FM Namibia, your number one favorite talk radio station, understand that still not yet at the end. And in this Friday, I don't want to be a religious person, but I'm indicating to you that it's not yet done until you throw in the towel. Because Sun Tzu, the author of The Art of War, and there's a well-known book which is used either in military strategies or either in business school and also in other field, indicated that life is war on its own. And you have to ask yourself a question to say, if life is war, who are you? Are you a casualty of life, or you are the general who takes charge of the battlefield? And what weapon are you using? And in simple terms, just to indicate to say, Life is a continuation of fight. And in one life, you have to be very picky with your battles. So that's why we have to ask ourselves a question to say, if life is war, what kind of war are we fighting? Particularly in the context of our peaceful Namibia. And we have an unfinished business, incomplete project of liberation, that is economic liberation. And as a continuing student of political economy, I'm very concerned, and in fact, I'm very shocked, particularly reading the data and statistics when we look at, the international trade balance of February, where as we spoke in the morning to say uranium has just vanished from the top four. And the question is that who is going to hold the line of Namibian economy, particularly on the ground that will continue to sell raw materials, because there is no way our uranium just vanished from top five export commodities. And when I look at the guy who is at the top five or the commodity which is at number five, which is at 1% of total export commodities. And it's really concerned to say something must really be done. And I'm very optimistic too, to say in the current affairs that we see, you realize to say the narrative has changed and the engagement have definitely changed, particularly when it comes to policies, when it comes to economic discussion. If you look, for example, at the main area of engagement, particularly currently, is a social media platform, online communication. If you look at that aspect, you look at young people, it's quite interesting to realize, to say, young people start following policy making, economic affairs, and political matters. And I'm very optimistic that the economic scenario plan, and also those who think before, who think for us when you are sleeping, are putting that in consideration. Let us look at USAFE and move forward.
Beat the fuel increase with USAFE specials on all your toiletries and household items. Dawn roll-on deodorant, just 14.99 Namibian dollars. Lovey's premium disposable nappies, just 139.99 Namibian dollars per selected size packs. 400 milliliter sun gel dishwashing liquid, just 18.99 Namibian dollars. 1 kilogram bag of Sunlight 5-in-1 hand washing powder, 29.99 Namibian dollars. 8 rolls of Twin Saver single ply toilet paper, just 39.99 Namibian dollars. USAFE. For unbeatable prices.
We are continuing with business and economic segment with me, David Shombe, and you are indicating that it's a Friday. Today we look at economic indicators. We look at issues of economic facts and information. However, we also need to look at, because it's a Friday, we need to look at our role in the Namibian economic discussion. Because I indicate that as a continuing political economy student, I'm very concerned about the data which I have seen. And it's not a matter of being panicking, but what I was indicating is that when you look on social media, you also see that young people, they take charge of conversations. Because the main discussion now on the table is the data that were presented at SONA. Those who are having interest in data, whether you're a student of statistics, whether you're a statistician, you must be able to understand and come up with a formula also of predicting how the future is going to be. Because the formula that every Namibian is trying to look at is connecting the vision with the action, and also connecting the vision of the country with the pace that we are moving in. It's undeniable that we are moving. But if somebody have to make a joke, an economic joke with you, to say, let me say your wife or your husband is waiting for you and is telling you that you are moving like the Namibian economic growth or the Namibian domestic economy, you'll be able to understand that you are moving very, very slow, unpredictably slow. And it's very difficult for you to reach that, destination. But it's also indicating to you that you need to upgrade your pace. And if somebody is saying, I've been calling you all the days, are you becoming Namibian uranium now at an international trade balance? That is an indication that you disappear. And you are showing people that, you become a concern. That's why if we have to look forward, for example, and we ask ourselves a relevant question to say, if there is just that disruption that we see now in our uranium trade, who is going to hold the Namibian economy in the next 6 months? Because believe me, you, the data that we have now from NSA, they are the data of February before the war. After the war, which is also difficult to predict because life currently becomes so unpredictable, particularly with global affairs. The question should always be, can the Namibian economy survive without uranium in the top five export? Let us have that scenario planning to say, who is going to fill that gap? Because if you look at our export value without uranium in the top five, we are at 6 billion. Go and check at international trade balance without uranium in the top five export commodity. And we must ask ourselves a question to say, what happened there? Did China reach its objective? Because if you look at the data, particularly when it comes to the study when it comes to nuclear, China has a goal of acquiring a certain level of uranium because they are using it for electricity and also other purposes. Without that, where are we going to be? And what plan do we have on the table? And if somebody also asks you a question to say, what is your role now as an individual? Because we can't continue blaming politicians. We also need to look at ourselves to say, as David Shombe, what is my role in the Namibian economy? What are two key things I can really say that I'm very proud of, particularly within the role that I have in my community? Am I also betraying the struggle of economic emancipation? And if we are at war of economic emancipation, or we are extending the battle of liberation struggle to economic warfare in line with the good intention that we have, what role are we playing? So we need to ask ourselves that question. And also today, without looking at the main real hard data, we need to ask ourselves those hard questions to say, maybe you have solutions to our problems. Maybe you are an individual that our leaders have been waiting for. Maybe you are the person that the private sector need your voice to say something so that they can listen. And I'm asking you now to say, what do you think need to be done to fix the Namibian economy? Because other alternatives that we discuss about, were spoken about in parliament, were discussed in public. Look at rallies. You take the Swapo Party manifesto and also implementation plan, well crafted, and you look at NDP6 and you look at all those strategies, then you ask yourself a question to say, for us to implement this, what is that thing that we need? Lazarus is a public sector professional, it's a public administrator. And I indicated to say we need to fix the system. But up to now, we still want to hear from you also to say, if we are saying we are fixing the Namibian economic system, where are we starting? And if you are not a theorist, let me say you are a statistician, or you are a mathematician, or you are a strategist, or either is a corporate strategist, then you look at NDP6 and you look at what is happening now. Then you look at the result of, state of SONA. What is your prediction if we are moving at the pace that we are moving into? What is your prediction looking at Vision 2030? What are some of the key interventions? Because we need to really to ask ourselves those difficult questions, particularly the roles of individuals. Could it be that as citizens we are also a burden to a struggling economy and also to the struggling government, which is trying to get the state in order? Could it be that we are also not playing our role within a social contract? Do you know that in countries such as Rwanda, and they are giving an example of China, Iran, Russia, there is a good explanation, particularly when it comes to social contract, because it's a give and take. You know, when you are in a contractual agreement with an individual, either it's oral contract, either it's, you know, a hard written contract, there are things that you call, you hold the end of your contract, what is expected from you. There is always somebody who is giving an offer, and there is always somebody who receives that offer. And within the operation of the state, there is something that is called social contract, and that social contract is at the center of the Namibian constitution. When you become a citizen, the state is obliged to give you the certification, giving you the birth certificate and all these things. But you also need to make sure that you are a valuable citizen that is doing something for the state. In those years when the state is going to war, it's your responsibility to go and volunteer and defend the state, because you are in that contract. You also have a right to protect the economy and property, and also to play a role in that aspect. Then there's something also that the president has said these days, and she was asked a question in parliament, particularly when it comes to disappearing of funds, and a lot of media are stating that, especially when indicated that those people, either is those institutions, either it's a fund, either it's a bank, those institutions, those people must be brought to account, because she understood that you can't have a struggling economy, then you have those who are using those loopholes. So we are going to a very short commercial break. Then we'll open up the line, particularly looking at your role. And from there, we'll also be able to give you what is happening around the world, especially where we are waiting for the negotiation between Iran and also United States of America. And we'll also be able to wait for that negotiation to start officially tomorrow morning. We have seen that the delegation from Iran has taken off already. And those of you who look at social media will be able to see. And you are asking yourself a question to say, so all this time Iran has an airline, has a functioning airplane. Where was it? Was it underground? Because what we see now on social media, we see Iranian airline, airplane, with the flag of Iran. And there's an indication that it's carrying the delegates or the envoy to negotiate in Islamabad, in Pakistan. And airplane is escorted by five fighter jets. And believed to be Pakistani fighter jets, and Pakistan is playing a very good role, especially in holding these talks, because these are some of the diplomatic engagement that the world has much interest in. You know, that time when people are negotiating about Ukraine and Russia, you know, not really having public or having global attention, but what is happening tomorrow is going to be very interesting, because the Vice President of U.S. is also taken off. He's going to Pakistan. That is J.D. Vance, to negotiate with also Witkoff. And most of these guys from the U.S. are business guys, former business gurus. And the delegation is going to meet with the Pakistanian, mediator, where the Prime Minister of Pakistan is heading this negotiation. And you know, looking at the history of diplomacy, people don't just come straight in one room, particularly when they are coming from war. You need to build trust first, and you can also have negotiation in the different rooms before they come together. It could be you know, within those 2 weeks, how things are going to be. But we'll see what Iran is going to compromise. And believe me, you, Iranians are not new people into negotiations. In that aspect, they are also going to compromise something. You can't, having all the 10 proposals agreed, they are going to compromise something because the art of negotiation is a give and take. You cannot go to a negotiation and you come out with winning everything. So that's why we are expecting to see what are they willing to give and what are they willing to give to the U.S. And our concern is also Israel, to see where is Israel in all this. Is Israel thrown under the bus? Why Israel is not part of the negotiation if he was the main person who was being defended, particularly when it coming to that aspect? Maybe it's going to turn out that way. Are the Iranian willing to meet any delegation from Israel, looking at what have happened with them, looking at losing almost the whole first generation of generals of Islamic Revolutionary Guard? But human beings are made to, you know, to come to the point of understanding each other, and also coming to the point of saying, emotions aside, what can you do to those 90 million people or those 15 million people behind you? Because you must really understand that even president themselves or ministers of states, they go through a lot because you are not only negotiating because of yourself, you are holding 90 million people behind you. And any simple mistake, those lives are in danger. That's why I don't only think military generals are the ones who are always in danger. Even the negotiators, if you agreed on things that are not making sense, you're also going to be in trouble. That's why those guys are always tactful and know what to say and what not to say. Let's just look at the short commercial break and come back shortly.
Hot dogs. I love hot dogs. I wonder why it's called a hot dog. I can eat them day or night. Let's squeeze some tomato sauce on this bad boy and enjoy. Ah, no! Now I've got tomato sauce on my dog, my watch, and my favorite shirt!
Sometimes you just squeeze too hard, and your favorite shirt gets ruined. But luckily, with Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes.
Ah, now that's a relief.
Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with business and economic segment. And as we indicated today, we'll be give you economic data. And if I want to give you a homework, especially just to have an assessment on our international trade balance, to say, really, are we going to hold our economy? Is it coming back? Is uranium coming back into the top five, or is it has disappeared? Or we are going to find another partner to negotiate with? Or what? How much say do we have when it comes to that aspect? And also to digest SONA, State of National Address. Let us digest, and also let us, not only be optimistic but appreciate where things have been moving. Because you can't complain about everything. Let us appreciate where things have been moving, and also ask a question to say, at what pace are we really going to move? And I just realized that Namibians, we also do not also do not read. There's something which I came about, you know, there are those who read it, identify things. But there's a lot of debate on social media to say there's an appointment of a deputy minister within the vice president's position, vice president's, office. But I think we should move beyond the naming to say, is it a deputy minister within the vice president's office, or is it a deputy president or deputy vice president? But let us look beyond the naming, because person role is what matter and what impact the person has, especially when it comes to that aspect. Because if you are looking at naming, not looking at the structure, because if that is done with a good intention of upgrading and uplifting this country, that debate will not be relevant, because it's not about somebody said it's not about the color of the cat. It's when the cat is able to catch mouses. It's about what you can do. It's not about how you are called, because you cannot debate on name, but also about who and what a person is able also to do. Now, when you think Namibia is struggling, look at other country. There's an indication that when you look at the country such as Senegal, stated that hundreds of workers, union members and opposition supporters are marching in the capital of Senegal, Dakar. And they are protesting. They are speaking about broken government promises and worsening cost of living as a country is struggling with severe debt crisis. And you want to see that you are in a better country compared to others. Senegal is suffering because just recently Senegal was not able to go through the economic reform program of IMF, especially when the investigation found out that it was having over $10 billion unreported debts. That's why they are trying to fix that. But you'll also be able to understand that citizens also, they also put you in trouble, particularly if you have a citizen who do not really understand how the system is operating. Because, for example, if you look at the current government of Senegal, it's a new political party in place. And this guy, when he came to power, he found out that the previous administration has not presented all the records, but he has to suffer that consequences, even if it's not his making. Then you understand that some people end up even suffering for things that are not of their making. But those are the things which are happening. And on the other hand, you also have economic data, particularly looking at countries such as Benin, to say regardless of Benin being one of the fast growing economy in Africa, with an economic that have grown with 7%, you start understanding that according to IMF, poverty has still continued in that country. And, the cost of living, people are still struggling with, the cost of living, and also struggling to cope with the rising cost of living. Then you are asking yourself a question to say, which one is better for us? Was Namibia better when we were upper middle income economy, or is better now when we are lower middle income economy? Because it seems like numbers in Africa, they are not really mattering. And you really ask yourself a question to say, if a country is growing at 7%, which is highest, what happened to its own people? It's the same question we should also ask ourselves, particularly in this Friday, to say, when you have institutions that are making many more money in Namibia, they are declaring profit is increasing. Look at our good insurance companies. You look at the non-banking sector. Then you ask yourself a question to say, this financial system, How is it connected to the ordinary person on the ground? This financial system that we are operating, how is it really connected to an ordinary, person on the ground? What is that we really need to change? Especially when it comes to the whole operating system. What is not working, and also what is working in our economy, to say if we have the continued expansion of the non-banking sector holding billions of dollars. But when you look at the majority of the proletarian, the peasants, getting almost to nothing from this economy, which is based on our resources, you really need to ask yourself a question. What is that we need to do better? But as I indicated, that I'm very optimistic that our economic scenario planner will be able to come up with one or two things that will be able to save us. And I want you to read the Villager newspaper for today. Then you also compare what was stated at SONA, particularly the production of either is within the green schemes, the output. Then you also look at the articles in the Villager newspaper for today. Then you'll be able to understand where we are going in terms of food production. On top of that, so I want you to, when you are reading the Villager newspaper, get an opinionated paper too, especially from the CEO of Mitco, and get that view and understand where we are, how we are operating, particularly when it comes to the beef industry, and understand where we are going as a country. So let us look at a short commercial break, and we'll continue with the conversation. And as I indicated today, that this Friday, we are asking ourselves difficult questions to say, in the world of unpredictability, if, for example, and people don't like asking this question, that's why, today when I was at the MTC in Daba, I've seen one very interesting clip that was playing one business person in Namibia state. You know, Africa, when stated that in Africa, when somebody has a tuck shop, somebody has an SME. I was giving an example to say, look at this business such as Vroomman, blog, such as international institutions. Some of these people who founded these businesses, they are gone 100 years ago. But let us look at an example of, in the Namibian context, how many businesses have survived after the main entrepreneur has gone. And what are we going to change from that? You know, when I was growing up, I was seeing, those uncles of ours, grandfathers of ours who went to CDM at that time. And they were having buildings, and they developed. If you look at the north, most of these stores that you see, well-known business persons, some of these people were working at CDM, and they have established stronger businesses. But when you start growing up, you start to see some of the names start to fade. Some of the names are fading away. Some of the names are fading away, and you're asking yourself a question, what happened to these businesses? When you are listening to the radio, yes, you are seeing these well-known business people whose names are not going to be mentioned. But when you start growing up, years by years, after 5 years, this guy, the name just fell away. The question is that what did we do wrong, particularly in not only maintaining our legacy, but also the economy of continuity? Look at, are I giving an example of Pap Kevers to say, Pap Kevers established a continuation of a system. When the big man was called out of this world, yes, people have mourned, and people have cried, and give the respect. But the business is standing. The stakeholder stood. It has expanded. And you see how it is. And it's a good example that we should learn from. Then the question that we're asking yourself today is to see, especially adults, and you need to ask this, and it's not to mock any adults. I'm asking this one, including everybody, and also including my relatives too, and everybody to say, if you go out of this world now, what is that thing that your kids will have in the next 50 years to come that you left with them? What is that legacy that they're going to hold on? It's not about a suit. It's not about money. It's about that establishment that your kids will be proud of. Because if we ask ourselves that question and it really hit us to say, I have been around and I did not do one or two things, I think it's the time for now to think beyond me. Because if we think beyond me, if we think beyond ourselves, then that is the only way that we can also come to the point of saying, even when we are institutional planners, we are not only planning for 5 years, but we are planning beyond ourselves. Because those are the questions, that difficult questions that we need to ask ourselves to say, if you leave this world today, what is that that your kids are going to cherish for the next 20 years? And if you don't have an answer, it's not a matter of blaming people. We know we come from different background, different economic background and all those things. But have we started thinking about that, the futuristic approach beyond what is that is going to outlive you that you have started? It can be a book that you wrote. You don't need to do a, to build the bigger infrastructure. It can be a book that you wrote that can continue giving, dividends, or continue having that name, or continue inspiring people, because you don't need to only monetizing benefit, but also something that is educative too.
Egameno joma uyerere koko marungura, kalishi ashike upsakadhi wopa uteknika, oliliwo omkundu wopa shigwana, upsakadhi wopaliko, no hashivuro oku ya moshipara uhupiro uongeshefa. Oshini momtumba ogo Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition umvo mao vigajo miongo mbalina hamano. Iikondo epangero mahangano wopa umwene, uministeri wepangero ni ikondo ya yoroka no handimwe, onetamu ithanwa muhoroke komtumba omtitatu watumburu wa mete. Tekero esiko mirongo mbali na gari siko mbali na ganega apiriri mwa vigali mirongo mbali na hamano ekaroko Arembush Travel Lodge Movenduka oshibarashi kundathanwa okwanja gane kuyerere kombinga uko shoki wopa ungomba ano saiba hejin kena una okuironge kidira omashongo oko marungura no marongo kehopope ko jerongizo jo marungura na iru inji koneka omahangano ohandimwe ni kondo mbokata mkatu ma akaliripo ya konda pantu ya tano otamukape wa ompi ito yom tugu mwe awedhu wapo hasho ashikeshoka pethimbo yom tumba ogo tungoka otaku kakarao VIP cyber gala dina nuyere ronji wa maisha angizo no mapura apuro kwa tatha na nayo konoraje tatu imwe onda tuyatano omgo igeari nenge ko email info@dstech.com.na nenge utarele pwe panja jao jopa ungomba ko www.dstech.com.na Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition Securing Namibia Digital Future.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom.
Yeah, we are continuing with the business and economic segment, and I'm joined by HD in this conversation. And today is a Friday. And we are just asking ourselves difficult questions. Yeah, thank you for joining us.
No problem.
Yeah, and let us start with our role in Namibian economic development. If somebody has to ask you just one question to say, what is that one thing that you are very proud about, that you are very proud of, that you have done for this economy? It doesn't need to be economic. Just one thing that you are very proud of, you can say, no, this one I'm very proud of. Maybe you have changed life. Maybe you have advised a person. Because we are saying our role to national economy. Because we can't just blame them in a tumbo for things that are not moving.
Yeah.
I mean, but there are also things that we can also look into that.
Yeah.
Maybe start from there.
I think From, on a personal level, I think it would just be education, honestly.
Yeah.
I think, you know, completing your university level and continuing to learn.
Yeah.
I think that's a very important, component.
Yeah.
To not only on a personal level, but, you know, the wider society as well.
Indeed.
Education is very important. Continuing to learn at all times.
Yeah.
Complete, I mean, I'm sure you know as well, many people go to university, but they don't finish.
People come back, somebody gave was making fun, I think, was it, I think it's Helmut Hussein, or somebody go to university in Russia, and people come back as a musician. It's not wrong, but you're also diverting from your intention. No, it's actually a very good thing because, you know, when today I went to Sunshine College.
Mm-hmm.
When they had this beautiful graduation, and it's a very good thing to see a college upgrading so fast. Then I look at these graduates. Some they may whisper challenges, mm-hmm. but an educated person is just an educated person. Mm-hmm. But people, I think that is something that we don't see, because you are still an asset.
Yeah.
Whether you get where you want to get into, if you complete that, you are still an asset.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can be a polished diamond, but you are not yet in the market.
Mm-hmm.
But you are still an asset. I think it's a very good thing. And the other thing is also that to look at the current young people.
Yeah.
What do we think we are not doing right? Because I'm very tired of looking at the statistics. Now I'm looking at the civilian because there's always somebody to blame.
Yeah.
Maybe what do you think citizens are still not doing very well that we need to do? Especially when it comes to development.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think, yeah. Especially as young people, I don't think, you know, I think we are very good at, you know, identifying the problems.
Yeah, yeah.
And recognizing what it is that we are lacking or what we don't have.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think a lot of us,
mm-hmm.
we don't take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to us.
Mm, mm, mm.
You know, a lot of the opportunities that are presented to us, it's opportunities, but they also require some effort from your end.
Yeah.
And when I say this, I'm talking about things like the Youth Development Fund.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like when we had, the guys from Belichick's in, was that yesterday morning?
Yeah.
All these different, vehicles that are made available to us, you know, when they say, just come present your business.
Yeah.
And if everything is in order, you know, on the administration side, if you have proved that maybe you've been operating for a year or whatever it is.
Mm.
I think a lot of people, one, don't know about these opportunities.
Yeah.
And two, when these opportunities do come, I don't think a lot of people take advantage of them. Cause for example, now when this green finance thing that we had streamed, I believe that was last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they told me that they got around 50 applicants.
Yeah.
Well, that 50 is a good number.
Yeah.
But I feel that for something like that, the applicant number should be in the hundreds. So that's why I say that we don't really take advantage of some of these things that are put in front of us. I mean, on Eagle FM, we hear a lot of people calling in saying, oh, we don't have financing. We're lacking capital. We can't access funding because they're asking for collateral, et cetera, et cetera. But there's actually opportunities that are available for us that don't require, you know, collateral, that don't require some of these things that we complain about.
Mm.
So I think it's just about, yeah. again, going back to education and making sure that you're looking for the right things to help you. Cause truthfully speaking, the assistance is there available for people.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear you. But do you think technology is a factor in, limiting young people to access some of these opportunities, because you find not really to say complicated requirements.
Mm-hmm.
I was engaging with a few young people. They say, no, I want an opportunity, but I spend the time on spend time online. There are certain requirements. Sometimes I don't have data, or I don't have a smartphone, and mm-hmm. all those things. But do we think technology is also a factor in that aspect?
I mean, if it comes to the point of, you know, not having access to the internet,
to a certain extent,
I agree, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I disagree, because that same person that will say that, if you ask them about the latest, you know, gossip or whatever happening on social media,
yeah.
they know about it.
In the time also.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah. Yeah.
But if you ask them about, you know, things that, that could help them, that are available on the internet, they'll say, oh, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. So it's also, you also have to take responsibility as a person, as a young person, to say, am I using the tools that are made available to me for the right purpose? Or am I just using them, you know, to gossip online, to find, to be scrolling on TikTok the whole day, like that?
No, you find, especially Friday, you find the young people, you know, searching a lot of weird stuff, but you think they are better researchers. It's a very good thing that you have pointed out. And maybe why you are here also, you know, when, I like visiting various places in a society, various levels. You go to Katutura, you go to Kapana, you come to town, you go to different levels, but you also see different levels of conversation. But do you think Namibian young people are having the same agenda that they are pushing? Are they together when you are seeing across the board?
On the part of together, that part maybe you can say not so much.
Yeah.
But I would definitely say there definitely is a section or a fraction of young people that are, you know, that are focused, that are determined to achieve whatever it is that they're trying to achieve on the economic side of things. But as a whole, maybe I'm leaning towards saying no.
Yeah, fragmented.
Definitely fragmented.
Yeah.
But I guess it's also maybe on those that are focused in that sense have to talk to their peers and say, like, no, look, guys, there's certain opportunities available to us. This internet that we're using for, you know, funny WhatsApp groups or scrolling TikTok the whole day and Instagram reels and things. There's also a section on the internet where you can be on the internet for the same amount of time, but you are using it a bit more productively, so to say.
Yeah, indeed. You know, it's a very hard conversation because I was always trying to find who is sabotaging Namibian development. And then I ask myself a question to say, could it be me? Could it be my friends? Could it be politicians? Could it be private sector? Could it be international corporations? I think that is a question that everybody really need to find, because you really find that everybody is hungry for development in Namibia.
Yeah.
We speak about that. People go to rallies, they clap hands. People sign memorandum of understanding. I was just looking at... there's a recent launch of Attorney General's Office Strategic Plan. And I'm very much interested what happened in the previous strategic plan and what was also achieved. But in that aspect, maybe while we have 5 minutes, maybe just your contribution regarding if you were given power to change three things in Namibia, what are those things that you're going to change? I know it's a very difficult question. What are those? Just three things, because you can't change everything that you really think that we urgently need to change.
Yeah, that is a very difficult question.
Yeah.
But now, at the top of my mind, I would say maybe it's not so much a change, but the first one I'll say is all the bills and laws regarding all things cyber data, those need to be implemented yesterday already.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say that's one thing I would change, is to put those laws or those laws in place so that they exist, because right now they don't exist.
Particularly cyber, ne?
Yeah, so especially cyber. That one has been for almost 10 years now that We are just talking and nothing is being implemented.
No, it's a good point that you mention it, and I think that conference is going to be interesting because, you know, I listened to even yesterday that Shehama spoke at Safari there.
Yeah.
And one of the questions I'm always asking myself is that how safe are we, especially the public sector?
Yeah, I know. today they had the launch of of the cybersecurity like awareness campaign that they are doing in preparation for the conference now.
Okay.
And Tati Shahema was very adamant about how, especially now, public websites, public entity websites, they are not safe at all. He said he's received, you know, text messages and emails from people in places like Turkey that are saying, look, if I wanted to,
I could do it.
I could easily hack this. I could access all of this data if I wanted to.
Serious?
Yeah. And they are not safe. And I also have personal experience with this because I have a friend who lives in Europe that works kind of in the tech slash cyberspace.
Yeah.
And when I sent him once a website of a state-owned entity that he didn't know about.
Yeah.
And I just sent it to him just, you know, we're just joking around.
Yeah.
Then he said, oh, so this is the website of this state-owned entity?
Yeah.
He said, if I wanted to do it right now, within an hour, I could access.
It's an open book.
It's an open book.
No, that is so dangerous. I think it's not the first time I'm hearing it from you. But the banks have moved very fast.
Mm-hmm.
But the banks, they are very strong.
Yeah.
The banking sector. But that is so scary. If we are an open book when it's coming to cyber, it's really a concern because I'm still not seeing the last time, maybe the money came now. The last time there was an investment of 20 million from Ministry of Information and Communication, I think around 2021 there, how do they call this, this unit within, CREN that is dealing with,
the
Namibia,
what they call the Namibia Cybersecurity Risk something team.
That team. Then there is nothing that, was invested in research and development and even to expand.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's very funny that, I'm preventing hackers, but I'm using a computer or a device that I bought from another country. It's very difficult out there. But I think it's a very good thing that you brought it up. Maybe we'll change because we can't be safe if a public sector cannot defend my document.
Yeah, you know, even an entity like NamWater, for example, their systems could be hacked to the point where someone could hack their systems to poison our water.
Serious?
Someone can do that. And that's something that's happened in America now. And that's in the, you know, the first world.
Imagine.
So if that can happen in America.
What about you?
100% it could easily happen. It's just that no one has, you know, has had the incentive to say, okay,
let's go to short commercial break and conclude.
Mm-hmm.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
So, what will your friends think if you show up at school with a brand new 10th gen iPad? TopScore Instant is making back to school in 2026 the coolest thing ever, giving away unbelievable prizes. To win one of 8 iPads or a weekly stationery voucher worth 1,000 Namibian dollars, simply buy a 1kg or 2kg TopScore Instant from any store nationwide and SMS Instant to 24442. Competition ends 31 March 2026. T's and C's apply. TopScore, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Yeah, that is bringing us to the end of our conversation, and we are going to leave you in the good hands of Mtuma team, that is Uncle Fly, and Naruvanda. HD?
Yes, we're handing over to them. It was a good conversation that we had. I was listening on the way here.
Yeah.
But we'll continue it next week as well.
Shop.